You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Gordon Brown, Ross Briley and Andrew Mount in the studio. It's National Hunt action from Doncaster and Ludlow, accompanied by All Weather Racing on the Poly Track at Lingfield in the afternoon. There's more All Weather action in the evening as well on the Poly Track at Kempton Park. So four meetings to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Gary Capewell. How are you, Gary?
Good, thank you, Mark. Very good yourself.
Yeah, not too bad at all. We're ticking ever closer to the festival, Gary. We've got several stories relating to that.
Yeah, 3 weeks to go, 3 weeks today.
Yeah, are you all set now? Are you ready for it?
Yeah, there's very few sort of trials. I mean, after this Saturday, there's no trials really left to come. So it's after this Saturday when we begin to really home in on it, because we're just over 2 weeks away then. I noted in the paper, I don't know if it was today, conditions are currently good, soft in places. So it's drying out nicely. I think they've got a drying the next few days. I think up until next sort of Tuesday, we're not due to get any rain until then. So that'll all help with the ground, and we're due it, because of even most of the meetings today, heavy, soft in places. We're not seeing much good to soft in most of the grounds, but I think Kempton perhaps the only place, and that might actually be good soft in places, but the way that the weather's going, that actually might be good ground come Saturday.
Good ground. We haven't seen that for a while, have we?
We haven't. So that'll be good. Obviously, it's good at Doncaster tomorrow. We'll preview some of the races there, but they traditionally have recent race on decent ground anyway, so it's good to see the grounds beginning to dry out a little bit.
Yeah. With regards to the festival, and let's just talk about a few of the runners. Nicky Henderson is going to have his old three favourites, if you like, back in Sprinter Sakura, My Tent Are Yours and Bobsworth. Bobsworth going to go World Hurdle route, My Tent Are Yours in the Champion Hurdle, and Sprinter Sakura aiming for another Champion Chase success. Of his trio, which are you most looking forward to seeing back in action? Which has got most chance of winning, I suppose.
Probably Sprinter Sakura, I guess. I can't believe My Tent Are Yours is going to be good enough first run back to be winning a Champion Hurdle, albeit probably not the strongest renewal of the race. And Bobsworth in the World Hurdle, admittedly, likes the track, but we've not seen him for a good while now, so sort of tempers the enthusiasm. I think of the trio, Sprinter Sakura's probably got the best chance, but even then, I don't think I give him too strong a chance. But it's good to have them all back. Obviously, they were part of that golden group when Nicky had seven winners back in 2012. It's amazing to look at his festival record. Since he started training, I think there's been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, just 8 years out of the last 30 where he's not had at least one winner at the festival. And going back to 2008 was the last time he drew a blank. So
yep.
You look at Pastry, the racing post on Tuesday, and you see the strength in depth that he does have for not only the novice races, but also for some of the handicaps as well.
Yeah. He's making familiar comments as well with regards to Sprinter Sakura. We've heard it before that he's in good form and so on and so forth. Apparently he's tanking at home. He's back to somewhere near his best. He's probably not as good as he once was. But
I don't think we'll ever see that again, unfortunately. No. This year has been obviously a lot better than last year, thankfully. When he came back and won the Schlur Chase, albeit it was a bit of a non-event really for me. But even on his form from last year, he was entitled to win that. But it was good to see the way they went through the race. Very strong, and that was good to see. And obviously, he got the better of Sider Grugy in that battle at Kempton just after Christmas as well.
Yeah. So we just discussed Nicky Henderson's record at the festival. Paul Nicholls, usually has a pretty good festival as well. He's had a bit of a quiet season, or maybe not hit the heights that he has in recent years, and he's expecting his string to be better on the better ground, apparently. He needs a good festival, doesn't he?
You could do with one. It's not been... I mean, I suppose we're sort of judging this a little bit on last year to a certain extent as well, and how many, you know, those consecutive Saturdays that they had. Big winners. Obviously, as a result, obviously, you know, they're a year older. Some of those horses now, they're not as well handicapped, etc., etc. And he's got quite a lot of youngsters in this this year. He's running a couple of runners in the Adonis on Saturday,
yeah,
at Kempton. It'll be interesting to see how they get on. But it's a race where he's used that race to good effect with Zarkandar in the past. And it's a race which has proved to be a very, very good trial for the Triumph Thirdle, even though it comes up fairly quickly before Cheltenham. With horses of that age, they haven't usually had as many runs throughout the season anyway, have they, going into the festival? So it doesn't really, you know, they're not having too hard a season, because they've only had probably one or two runs maximum before they run in this and then go to Cheltenham, and they're learning and improving quite dramatically at this stage of their careers from run to run, with them being juvenile hurdlers. So, interesting to see what happens there. Obviously, he's got quite a few entered in the old Racing Post chase as well. He could do with certainly a few winners at the festival, that's for sure. I think he only had just one last year or the year before. I think he won the Martin Pipe Hurdle one. I think it might have been the year before last, actually. It'd be good to see him have a few winners.
Yeah. Well, we're on the subject of big trainers as well. Willie Mullins, he's got a pretty strong hand, I suppose you could say, and they might just add another one to it as well, because Augusta Kate, who apparently was going to go to Sandown for a listed mares bumper there.
That's on Imperial Cup Day.
Yeah, he's now apparently reconsidering sending her to the champion bumper at the festival. She's got quite illustrious owners as well. Alan Shearer, yeah. Graham Wiley, Anton Deck, and Lee Westwood. So... give them a trip to the Cheltenham Festival?
It would do. Willie likes to have lots of runners in that race. Obviously, he has a good record in the Cheltenham bumper.
Eight times, I think, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he's had... Usually there's one or two that sort of really stand out, but I guess there's not been that real performance that we've seen from any of his bumper horses this year. Perhaps Avenir, Dune V, perhaps the Unlucky Pass... probably the pick of those, but they're both owned by Gigginstown. They don't like having runners in the race.
Yeah,
they've probably seen, quite rightly so, those particular horses as sort of hurdlers and long-term chasers. So, I don't know, she'll be getting an allowance. Augusta Kate hasn't ran for a while, and she did go through that Navan race. I remember watching it very, very impressively. So, that's good to know that she might be going there. But we're going to have a lot of this over the next couple of weeks. Horses changing targets, etc., etc. It won't be the first. It won't be the last. We hear of it.
Just quickly spinning through a few others. It looks like a Fed and her is not going to go to the festival.
No, I'm going to say unlikely.
And it looks like they're considering options with Solstice Star, and Charbel is likely to go for the Supreme. But a bit of breaking news: Solsify is going to miss the Cheltenham Festival. They're a bit of a race against time to get him to qualify. Apparently, they're not going to try. So,
well, they've got Punchestown and Punchestown to look forward to. Obviously, he's won there before in the past, and maybe Aintree, depending on whether they want to run him in that. So, yeah. He did win. He has won the race, hasn't he?
Twice,
of course. Yeah, he's very lucky to win one of them.
Yeah,
Oscar Delta. Yeah, Jane Magnan got unseated, but yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, they're just targeting Aintree instead. So.
Yep. A track that he's gone around before, so that shouldn't be an issue.
Mm-hmm. Anything else on your mind, Gary? Any other festival things you want to get off your chest, or any other news before we move on to Wednesday's action?
No. I think I'm doing the podcast again next week, so there'll be plenty I can get off my chest then.
All right, well, we'll leave that there then. We'll get stuck into Wednesday's action. Gary's got four races for us, and we'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, we're going to look at racing from Doncaster and Ludlow and Kempton Park as well on Wednesday. We'll go through them in time order. So we start in the 3 o'clock at Doncaster, which is a Class 3 handicap hurdle. It's over 3 miles. We've got a field of 12 here, Gary. And it's going to be quite an open race because there's a number of these in good form.
Very much so. Pinnacle Panda, who's won his last two outings, winning at Uttoxeter and Sandown. He's been put up another £8 for that last success. So this will be his first try over the trip as well, which is a little bit of a concern. You Say What, I think we'll handle the better ground, likely better ground. This horse was second last time out. Neil King had a winner, I think, the other day. Fort Worth, another one that has been running, coming back off the bit of a break, and I should imagine this is another one that's been waiting for the slightly better ground. Mount Haven won last time out. He won at Ludlow in Maiden Company, makes his handicap debut, another one that's going up in trip. Nightline, another one that's clearly been waiting for the better ground, but hasn't been seen since finishing second at Bangor. And the one I'm going to go for is another one who's been waiting for the better ground, the Neil Mulholland trained, number 7, Finger on the Switch, who was second at Kelso back in September on quick ground, then won at Worcester when odds on in Maiden Company. Ran subsequently at Cheltenham, finished fourth behind, you know what I mean, Harry, beaten 8 3/4 lengths at the open meeting, and then ran back there when finishing at 9th in handicap company behind So Fine last time out. Back on better ground will be a huge, huge plus for this horse. Neil Mulholland's yard beginning to slowly tick over again gradually, and I think in what is a very open race, he is worth taking a chance on in that 3 o'clock.
On to the 3.10 at Ludlow next. This one is a Class 3 handicap hurdle. It's over a mile and 7.5 furlongs. A field of 13 here, Gary, so similarly open event.
Yeah, very much so. Isaac Bell was in winning form earlier on in the season, finished behind One Trap Mind at Newbury at the Hennessy meeting. Fairly real. Got more letters than numbers next to its name, unfortunately. Anything that Evan Williams runs here has to be respected. Cape Castor finished fifth behind Solstice Star at Cheltenham when last seen, giving a bit of a break after that. About the Bush has been a bit disappointing. Need to see how he gets on. Political Quiz was sixth when last seen. That effort will probably need improving on. That came at Huntingdon. The Gooch, been a bit disappointing for me this season. Albeit he has to, as claimed, just booking on his old form. Rafafi was a good second last time out. There's another that's interesting, but I think there's two sort of unexposed horses in this race, and I think it's between the pair. Horse number 13, Guantoshol. No idea if it's pronounced that way or not. Finished second behind Unison at Wincanton recently. Makes its handicap debut, which is interesting. The other one is Blackfire, who was well beaten behind Tara Flo last time out when last seen. But this juvenile was a good second prior to that. Again, like John Joe's horses, they're beginning to hit a bit of good form now, all in the yard. Richard Johnson, obviously the very eye-catching jockey booking. So I'll take a chance with Blackfire in that 3.10 at Ludlow.
Blackfire then for Gary there. Moving on to the 3.30 at Doncaster next. This one is a Veterans Handicap Chase qualifier. It's over 3 miles, a Class 2 event. 10 of them in the lineup here, Gary, and some old favourites in there, isn't there?
Yeah, very much so. We've got St. R, who was obviously second in the Grand National. He's having another stepping stone towards that race. French Opera, been a bit disappointing the last couple of times, finally getting some help from the handicapper. Ben Benz, never the most consistent, but he can throw in a good run out of nowhere, it seems. Reaping the Reward, finished third at Sandown in that Veterans Chase, in which Ben Benz was fifth. Grandad's Horse was well beat at Kempton when last seen. We've got Gosme Judge, a former Scottish National winner in there. Son of a Gun, who was a winner on his penultimate outing. And we could then come to the real Doncaster specialist, really. Knight in Milan, who was a winner here over hurdles when last seen. He's a former winner of the Grimthorpe Chase, I think, this horse. But you just look at his record at Doncaster throughout his career, and it reads 2, 4, 1, 1, 2, 3, 3, 8, 7, and then 1. But quite a few of those last ones were in hurdle races. So, you know, he clearly does love it here. He likes quick ground as well. And there's a lot more positives than negatives. He obviously was third, as I was saying, in the Grimthorpe Chase last year. And he is, for me, going to take a bit of beating at a track that he loves. So, Night in Milan is the selection in the Veterans Chase.
Night in Milan then for Gary in the 3:30 at Doncaster. And we finish off with a bit of all-weather action. The 7:40 at Kempton, a Class 4 handicap over 6 furlongs. A field of 12 here. Just looking through the runners here. Clubland, Borough Boy, Greyfriars, Chorister, Rich Again, Mesmar, all won last time out, Gary. Nice little race to look forward to this.
Yeah, great. it's not the easiest puzzle to try and solve, this one. As you say, quite a few of them have been in good winning form. Greyfriars Chorister has won here in the past, but his last four wins have actually come at Southall. Borough Boy, another one that won at Southall. He's up £9 for that. I'm not sure that that will be... well, actually, could well be enough to scupper him. Rich Again has won 4 on the spin in the past, and he usually wins at this time of year as well. He's up £6 for his recent Wolverhampton success. I don't think the mark is really an issue for him. Captain Lars is... handicap mark has dropped like a stone. Oriental Relations, well drawn for one that likes to press the pace. But the one I'm going to go for, he's stepping down in trip, is horse number 12, Mesmar. He was a winner here, as I say, over 7 furlongs. That was his second run back off the back of a bit of a break. He won here 3 weeks ago. Don't think stepping down in trip will be too much of an issue for this horse, who's trained by Ken Morgan. Shane Caddy takes the ride. He could have been slightly better drawn, I suppose, but I don't think really that's going to be too much of an issue. He was once rated 95, this horse, when he was trained by Charlie Hills. Kevin Morgan, that was his first win for Kevin Morgan. He dropped down the handicap like a stone. I mean, he was officially, he was rated 97 a couple of years ago. And when he's had 2 runs at Kempton, one of them coming over this course and distance where he was a bit of an eye-catching fifth, and he obviously had a month off after that before he won here last time out. As I say, the draw is a little bit of a concern, but I think this horse is still very well handicapped and he's on a bit of a roll now, hopefully. So Mesmar is the selection. One is a very open 7:40.
Yeah, he's won over 5 and 6 in the past as well, so the drop in trip shouldn't be an issue.
Shouldn't be an issue, yeah. No.
All right, good stuff. Let's have a bit of a summary, Gary, if you'll spin us through your 4 selections for Wednesday one more time.
Yep. In the 3 o'clock at Doncaster, finger on the switch. In the 3:10 at Ludlow, Blackfire. In the 3:30 at Doncaster, Night in Milan. And in the 7:40 at Kempton, Mesmar.
Superb. Good work, Gary. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Wednesday.
Thanks, Mark. We'll do.
There you go. The thoughts of Gary Capewell on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. Gordon Brown, Ross Briley and Andrew Mount, the team in the studio. It's jumping from Doncaster and Ludlow, all with the racing at Lingfield as well in the afternoon. And we finish with an evening card under the floodlights at Kempton Park. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.